Beloved congregation of the Lord, today we commemorate the great occasion of Pentecost, the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, and we do that in connection with installation of office bearers, realizing that God rules His church by Holy Spirit equipped and enabled men who are God's gift to the congregation. Later on in the form, when we read it together, you will be instructed to receive these men, these four men, as servants of God. Now, office bearers need to be praying, dependent, and humble men, like the Lord Jesus Christ was. They are always going to be facing questions and riddles and puzzling situations. Things are happening for which we need wisdom as office bearers. And how do we get that wisdom? Well, James instructs us, doesn't he? If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. And how does the Lord give wisdom to his people? He does that by the Holy Spirit, applying the Word of God. And as the Holy Spirit does that, God's people, the office bearers among them, are becoming more and more Christ-like. Well, this morning, for installation of office bearers, we're going to turn to Psalm 119. Now, focusing mainly on verse 17, but also up to verse 24. But the main focus will be verse 17. Let me read that to you. This is God's word. Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. Our text speaks to us of the office bearers' need, the Holy Spirit, to teach them prayer, dependence, and humility. First of all, office bearers need the Holy Spirit to teach them prayer. And I would add at this time that what is true for office bearers is true for every single one of us. So while I'll be addressing office bearers mostly this morning, it applies to everyone. Psalm 81, verse 10, the Lord says, "Open thy mouth wide, and I will fill it." And that tells us that it is very dishonoring to God and impoverishing us when we ask only little of God. Let us always expect great things from a great and generous God who promises, "My God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus." So the psalmist prays, "Deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word." Like the disciples, let us bring our empty vessels to the Lord Jesus to be refilled. Or like the old widow in the days of Elisha, until there is not a vessel more. And remember who it is that's interceding for us at the throne of grace. The Lord Jesus Christ, beloved, is ready to show you how infinitely His grace exceeds your thoughts and your prayers and your desires and your praises. Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live. And that means that I may live out of Christ. That I may live with a purpose in my life and a focus and a zeal. That I may live exclusively for Christ, who rose, who died and rose again. And then you live and keep His word. By the grace of God, living a life of obedience. And the Holy Spirit will need to teach us many times to pray, "Lord, what will you have me to do now?" And when you pray that many times, then your identity and your motto becomes, "For me to live is Christ." That goes together. Live and keep thy word. For me to live is Christ. Open my eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of thy law. It's the prayer of an office bearer, the prayer of a child of God, blind by nature for soul matters, for daily life matters, blinded in matters of faith and practice, in office bearing matters. As office bearers, we need the Holy Spirit to open our eyes that we may see. And so we pray many times, oh Lord God, open my eyes to know my Bible, to know the scriptures. We don't need new revelations. We simply need the Lord to open our eyes that we may see the wonders in the Word of God. And when the Lord opens your eyes, beloved, you really begin to see. You begin to see who you are, as described in the Word of God. The word law here in verse 18 refers to the Old Testament books of Moses. Yes, that includes the Ten Commandments law, but it's all the five books of Moses. And when the Lord opens your eyes according to that law, then you begin to see that in yourself there is no good. And the more the Lord opens your eyes, the more sin you see. Not just a little sin here and a little sin there, but you begin to realize that everything you do is stained with sin. And then that law becomes real. And God's righteous demands of you are right. When the Lord opens your eyes, you begin to see not only who you are, but who God is as the God of the Word, the majestic God, the glorious God, who is so pure and so holy and so perfect and so good. And you see him against the backdrop of your black, unholy, impure badness. And that knowledge of yourself and of God brings you into an impossible place. You know that God justly demands your perfect obedience. And you know, because you're learning it by bitter experience, that you cannot possibly do it. And you also learn that you can't use that as an excuse, saying, well, I can't help it, because it becomes your great burden. And you become very careful in your life, afraid to sin. See, when the Lord God, through the Holy Spirit, opens your eyes for these matters, and he also opens your eyes to see wondrous things, wonderful, marvelous things, as our text says. And those wonderful things in our text contain the wonders of grace. That same word for wondrous in Psalm 119 is used also in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6. Where we read the prophecy, for unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and his name shall be called Wonderful. That's that same word. Wonderful. Open my eyes. I need the Holy Spirit to do it. I can't open them myself. He opens the eyes of your heart and your soul and your faith, and you begin to see by the light of God's Word, through the working of the Holy Spirit. No, you don't only begin to see yourself as a sinner and who needs God's grace every single day. And not only do you see God as a holy, righteous God who must punish sin, but also and especially you begin to see the one who is named Wonderful. Christ Jesus the Lord, the Son of God, show me wonderful things out of thy word, O Lord. You want to see clearer and clearer into those wonderful things. You want to behold the wondrous things of Emmanuel. You want to behold Emmanuel himself. You want to be able to comprehend something of that immeasurable love of God displayed in Christ Jesus. And then we need to look no further than the Lord Jesus Christ suffering, dying on the cross. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, so that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Beloved, make this your prayer. Open thou my eyes, Lord, that I may behold wonderful things from thy law. Whether you're just at the very beginning of your spiritual journey, or well established, whether you're a first time office bearer or coming back, especially as you see more and more of who you are and who God is, deal bountifully with thy servant. Open my eyes. Show me wonderful things out of thy law, out of thy word, meaning show me over and over again. Show me King Jesus. Hide not thy commandments from me. We can be so quickly going aside and astray. We can go so quickly aside from the word of God that we need God to keep his commandments before us again and again. We need the Holy Spirit to keep this prayer fresh for us every day. Deal bountifully with thy servant, O Lord. Teach me to pray. Secondly, office bearers need the Holy Spirit to teach them dependence. You think of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is Almighty God himself. He was so dependent. He came on this world, made himself dependent on his mother and his father. He was constantly dependent on his heavenly father throughout his whole life. And here, the psalmist says, deal bountifully with thy servant, that I may live and keep thy word. That servant, dependent on his Lord, needs the Lord to deal bountifully with him. Isn't it a miracle, beloved, that the Lord would have any dealings at all with us? Seeing our great sins? And now, in complete dependence, we are instructed to ask for bountiful dealings. Deal bountifully with me, O Lord. See, when the Lord begins to open your eyes, then you have a whole new appreciation for the Lord's dealings. And you begin to see more and more clearly the Lord's leadings with your life. And you learn to depend more and more on him for all things. And when you see wonderful Jesus, then you need him more and more. Seeing Jesus once by faith is not enough. You taste and see that the Lord is good, and your appetite for the Lord Jesus Christ is whetted, and you long to hear more of him, and you want to know him more intimately, especially as office bearers. So that you can tell others about him. And you're not satisfied anymore with just a little bit from the Lord, a little bit of light and a little bit of grace. Then you ask for more. And you ask for great grace and great fear of God and great love for the Lord and for his people. And as the Holy Spirit teaches you dependence on the Lord, those bountiful dealings are revealed in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you begin to realize how true it is what Paul writes, where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. Grace was bountiful. Peter writes, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. Paul speaks of abundant grace. Peter speaks of abundant mercy. Deal bountifully with thy servant, O Lord, that I may live and keep thy word. And so the psalmist can sing later on, I will sing unto the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me. That's what we all need. Not just the office bearers, but every single one of us. What is it that will give rest to your soul? as a human being, as a believer, as an office bearer. You read it in Psalm 116. Return unto thy rest, O my soul, because the Lord has dealt bountifully with you. That's how, when the Lord deals bountifully with you. And then Psalm 116 explains exactly what that is. In verse 8, for thou hast delivered my soul from death, my eye from tears, and my feet from falling. Speaking of a complete salvation, he has delivered your soul from eternal death. That's what it means that he has dealt bountifully with you through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. He has delivered my eyes from tears, or those bitter tears of sin. One day, every tear shall be wiped away. You have delivered my feet from falling. Speaking of a holy life. Oh, what bounties. Eternal life, no more sorry. My slippery feet held on a firm ground by the grace of God. Oh, we are utterly dependent on the Holy Spirit for this, applying all the benefits of Christ to his people. And the Lord himself gives us the pleading ground for asking this of the Lord. Jesus said, whatever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it to you. And here we read it in the Word of God. Return to thy rest, O my soul. The Lord has dealt bountifully with you, delivering your soul and your eyes and your feet. That is what it means to ask in his name. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Deal bountifully with me. Hide not thy commandments from me. Often, as believers in this world, we're not sure. We're not so sure how we are to act in this very moment, or how we are to react to something that has been said to us, or how we are to interact with people. And often we must say, Lord, show me. Show me the way wherein I must go. And it's especially true for office bearers. Often faced with situations and decisions you never thought you'd have to deal with. Show me the way. My soul breaks for the longing, this is verse 20, that it has unto thy judgments at all times. You see, God's servants are dependent on the Word of God. So dependent to such an extent that our hearts break when we are missing that Word. When we're not sure what we are to be doing, my soul breaks because the servant knows that without the Word of God to guide us and to direct us, we are in great danger. We depend on the Lord's Word at all times, not just sometimes. The servant of God at all times needs the Word of God. For our personal Christian experience, for our life as a parent, as a husband, for our work as office bearers, in your districts, your family visits, elders' meetings, your deacons' meetings, your consistory meetings, always we turn to the Word of God. The Holy Spirit-inspired scriptures on which we are utterly dependent. The servant of the Lord knows that God reveals his will on the pages of scripture. And we are dependent on the Holy Spirit and the Word. Because whatever situation we are in, we must always be able to say, thus says the Lord. And here he says it. Here in the Word of God. When we're giving counsel and advice, we look to the Word of God. When we want to comfort the mourning, we turn to the Word of God. We always come with the Word of God. Otherwise, it is not real biblical comfort. And it is not real biblical counsel. Thy servant did meditate in thy statutes, is the last part of verse 23. With great dependence on the Word of God. The servant of the Lord, the office bearers, must meditate on the Word of God. Not just read it over, not just read over it, but take time to chew on it and to digest it. And ask the Lord specifically, Lord, how does this portion of Scripture address our present situation? Or you are dependent on the Holy Spirit in your daily study of the Word. Thy testimonies are my delight and my counselors. In your dependence on the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, all the verses of Scripture are your delight. They give you pleasure and joy as you meditate on the Word of God. Because from every portion of Scripture, there's a line leading to the Lord Jesus. Always. That is why you can say, this is my delight. You cannot be a servant of God without counselors. Meaning the testimonies of the Word of God. Oh, at times I know we reach out to others who are more specialized in situations which we are facing, for which we are not equipped, and we come to our end and we say, we need somebody new to take a look at this. But ultimately, we depend on Him of whom we read, His name shall be called Counselor, Christ Jesus, the Lord. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who speaks in the Word of God. And the Lord sends His messengers through His Word. And we listen to them. Think about this. When you open your Bible, God Himself is your counselor. The Lord Jesus Christ Himself is your counselor. The Holy Spirit is your counselor. And He speaks to us through men like Isaiah and Moses and Jeremiah and David and Paul and John and Peter. Are you looking for counsel? Turn first of all to the Word of God. Office bearers need the Holy Spirit to teach them dependence on the Lord Jesus Christ. Not only do we need the Holy Spirit to teach us in the matter of prayer and dependence, but also to teach us humility. Two times in this little portion of Psalm 119, the psalmist calls himself thy servant, verse 17 and verse 23. Now, just like Jesus Christ was the servant of Jehovah, and He said, I came not to be served, but to serve, so, dear office bearers, we must follow Him. When we are ordained, we are first of all God's servant, ordained by God to serve God. And then we are the congregation's servant. We are ordained by God to serve His people in this congregation. The Lord Jesus Christ is the servant of Jehovah, and we are to be like Him, always serving. That's true for all Christians, but it's especially true this morning for office bearers. We are always serving. We are always serving the church. Whatever you do in your work as an office bearer, it is the Lord's work. So you do it as unto the Lord. And there's such great joy in office bearing, knowing that it is God who has placed us here at this time to serve Him and His people. Great joy. And sometimes also great grief in that same work. But keep in mind, you do it for the Lord. And always remember, dear brothers, office bearers, what the Lord has done for you. In His amazing grace. And then keep that in mind. When you face difficult situations, when you're going to face people who disagree with you and who don't like you, then remember always God's amazing grace to you. And show something of that to all those with whom you have to deal. The servant of the Lord is not working to earn anything. He's not working to pay anything back. What does Jesus say? When you shall have done all those things which are commanded you, say, we are unprofitable servants. We have done that which was our duty to do. And as the Lord's servants, you should expect to be treated as your master, the Lord Jesus Christ, was. You shouldn't be surprised if you're not always so popular as you thought you were. You shouldn't be surprised and troubled if people misunderstand you. Jesus told you to expect this. It is enough for the disciple that he be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, another name for devil, how much more shall they call them of his household? In all my years as an office bearer, I don't think I've ever been called Beelzebub. Nor has any other officer been called that. But Jesus was. And he says, how much more shall they call them of his household? Beloved children of God and office bearers, we are strangers on this earth. But it says in verse 19, not only servants, but strangers, pilgrims. Hebrews 11, these all confess that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth, not feeling at home on this earth, looking for another city, a heavenly. And that means the world's schemes don't attract you. You're on your way home. Traveling through this place, serving the Lord, yes, on the way home. Verse 21. Thou hast rebuked the proud that are cursed, which do err from thy commandments. You know, the lust of the eyes and the lust of the flesh and the pride of life, that's what the world is. That can be so powerful. Also, and sometimes I think especially for office bearers. An honest office bearer knows that pride clings to me. And pride will trip me up. And he knows that it is the Lord who gives humility. The only one who can do it. And that pride becomes evident when we err from God's commandments, because it's always pride at the root of the problems. A lack of humility. And sometimes we have to be honest and tell other people that. But I believe we also need to be honest and tell ourselves that. Last night we were sitting reading for a little while with our front window open, and we could hear the music from Montebello Park, from Pride in the Park. And we think that's pride, huh? That's not the only pride there is. There's pride in your heart and in my heart. And that needs to be torn out by God Himself, by the Holy Spirit Himself. An office bearer's great needs are outlined in the Word of God. Dear congregation, will you join your office bearers in prayer? Oh, Holy Spirit, teach us to pray. Teach us to be dependent. Teach us to be humble. Oh, Holy Spirit, keep us on our knees. Keep us 100% dependent. Keep us from pride. Teach us humility to serve you and your people. And dear brothers, office bearers, remember, you are the Lord's servant. And you serve a gracious Lord. And as praying, dependent, humble office bearers, we can expect great things from a great and generous, great office bearer, the prophet, priest, and king of his church, the Lord Jesus Christ. Faithful is he who calls you. He also will do it. Amen.